what makes this one unique is they would line the glass with absinthe.
The little green fairy.
Glass you're going to drink out of it. You're going to line that with absinthe.
I'm going to line it with absinthe?
To make it.
Okay.
Not now.
Oh.
And because we didn't have absinthe.
We just did straight cocaine.
So so absinthe is, the main ingredient is wormwood. Yeah. It doesn't have a great taste to it. Because we didn't have it, we used Malort.
Oh!
So we just lined this thing with Malort. So all you Malort fans, that's what we had to use.
You did this to me tonight?
We had to. We didn't have, did you have absinthe? No.
No.
Welcome to Whiskey Bits with Matt and Phil, where we talk all things whiskey
and all things comedy.
Matt, how are you?
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Fantastic.
It's great to see you again.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. It's been too long.
No, it hasn't.
It's been way too long.
Oh, was I not supposed to say that?
No, you were.
Oh, okay.
Don't let them in that the last episode that they listened to was a week ago.
For them.
10 minutes ago for us.
Whoa, it's like we're in like Interstellar.
Mm-hmm. You know what's really crazy? Love that movie. Somehow we had time to change our shirts.
I can't believe that. I mean, the movie magic.
The magic of the
Hollywood.
Cinema.
Hollywood. I'd like to thank our special effects and visual effects teams and our costume.
Yeah, designer. I would like to thank the camera operator, Matt. Our field. Thank you to all of you tripods for being here tonight. Audio engineer.
That would be you.
I mean, financier of said also audio. You. Audio engineer, Matt Summerfield.
We wear a
doing
lot of
a fantastic job.
We wear a lot of pants.
Yeah.
Hats. We wear a lot of hats. I mean, I do wear a lot of pants. I have this pair of pants and another pair of pants.
Yeah.
That's all the pants.
You know what's crazy about you and me? We both put our pants on the same way.
One
giant leap at a time.
For mankind.
Do you ever... I was thinking about this the other day. I'm at the age where... And I'm not like... I don't feel like I'm like overweight, but I had to roll on my back like a hedgehog to get my socks on.
You ever had to do that? I like back rolled just to like hoist
your leg,
my leg,
huh?
Using momentum
to get your socks
on, get my foot close enough to put my sock on.
Hmm.
I don't know if that says more about my age or my lack of flexibility.
Probably a little both. I really that sounds.
I couldn't believe it.
It sounds crazy. I have a series of back and shoulder injuries that have put my body into very strange positions to dress myself or do other daily activities. So I get it. I'm not
You actually run in a figure eight pattern in order to get your pants on
just to put on a shirt. It is really wild.
I got to take a running leap.
Mm-hmm.
I put the shirt out
on
this machine thing, and it just opens it up like if it was like a parachute. And I run and I leap into it.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, I'm fine. But one time.
I don't think I could leap to do anything. I feel like when you find yourself having to use other things to lean on while you're putting on your shoes, or like that's when you've hit that age of
depression. Oh, just
yeah,
things aren't working.
Yeah, exactly. The biggest telltale, right? Everybody talks about this one. When you make noise as you get up. That is the sign that you are over 40. My chiropractor said, I play a ton of hockey and
big hockey guy.
I love it. I love playing hockey.
Canada.
I love Canada. I love Canadians. I know we've talked about
freaking
this.
Geese.
The geese are the worst.
They're the worst.
The reason we think geese are so great is because we think they're Canadian, so they must be nice, but they're jerks. I told that joke to a Canadian once, and he agreed. Totally.
Oh, yeah, totally.
He loved it.
That's awesome.
He loved it, yeah. Yeah. So at any rate, my chiropractor said, once you hit the age of 40, you shouldn't leave your feet anymore. Meaning, like, you shouldn't be falling down. You shouldn't be, you know, hurt. Because if
I don't leave my feet ever, and I feel like they've always been attached to my...
To your legs?
Yeah.
And then to the ground?
Yeah.
Do you remember when you were a kid, you would be able to climb up onto the top rope of your couch, the turnbuckle, and dive off and elbow drop a pillow?
Yeah, but does he mean don't ever lift your leg ever?
No, anywhere? He's just saying don't...
Like, don't sorry, leave your can't feet. Go like, up steps.
You've got your feet if you're walking. Oh,
disobeyed your chiropractor.
But the minute you fall or jump or leap
you will
or
die.
Dive... At 40 years old, you just shouldn't be doing it anymore.
Dead.
But I think about jumping off of a couch and my knees hurt.
I think about jumping off of a couch and it makes me feel like maybe I want to jump off a couch. I didn't know that was so stupid.
I wish I had a feeling of that. I hurt my back on a trampoline once.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
Does it?
It's like, oh, the floor's giving way.
Way. Should we drink these?
Yeah, I don't think what is gonna, this?
This is, I've been so excited about this. I've been reading up on this one. I tried this for the first time this past summer when I was in New Orleans. This is called the Sazerac. The Sazerac.
So this is Sazerac Rye, also mm-hmm. owned by?
So Sazerac owns Buffalo Trace.
Right.
Yes.
So
yes.
Buffalo Trace. Ooh. Oh,
they're rich. They're fancy. Sazerac is the company that owns that, all of them. And they also own a bunch of stuff up in Canada.
Canada.
So the Sazerac is, it's credited as maybe one of the oldest cocktails. It's up there with the old fashioned. But it is it's a really unique blend. And so
they really jumped. They took a leap there. They did something with the naming. Old fashioned. Ooh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Sazerac.
So
where the heck is it, like, is it some guy's name?
No. So it's this is originally, while it's now a whiskey drink, and specifically we put rye whiskey in this one.
Mm-hmm.
This one was originally cognac, and there was a cognac brand called Sazerac. And so,
same company?
So no.
Oh.
Not the same company. But they own this cognac.
Is it cognac or cognac?
I'm going to go with cognac.
I'm going to say cognac because it's not Kanye West. It's Kanye West.
Yes. If we're going to go with the stuff that's older, that totally makes sense. Chicken right. before the egg, right?
Right.
So Sazerac was a cognac brand that was imported to the U.S. from France. And
freaking French.
Well, we got to remember, we're in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
So this makes perfect right. sense.
Still so, like the French.
So the guy that originally designed this drink or started pouring this drink in his coffee house, which they would refer to saloons as coffee houses,
so they don't get in trouble or
in
something?
New Orleans. Yep. They would serve this drink called it wasn't called.
Why didn't
a
they just call it a
was
church?
Called
like a take it way further away. Like you just like, oh, let's just name it a different drink. Yeah, but like you're trying to like trick the government or something into the fact that it's not alcohol. So call it like, I don't know, preschool house or daycare house or church house. Why? Okay. I'm sorry.
I'll go back to the 1870s and try to figure that one out.
Yeah, please do.
I can't tell you that one. This actually predates the 1870s. This goes into the
so it's like 1869.
Early 19th century. Yeah. So it's like I said, maybe one of the oldest cocktails in the U.S. So
okay,
let me talk about a little bit how this one was made. You like that? That lemon's really nice, isn't it?
You like that? You like the lemon smell?
You like that lemon?
Is that a good thing?
You like that? Mm-hmm.
It's very aggressive, Phil.
So this one is made with like we said, the base is rye whiskey, but this is made by taking a sugar cube and these Peychaud's bitters. So Peychaud,
don't ever say that to me again. How
Peychaud
dare
you? was a guy in New Orleans. Oh. He was an apothecary.
I thought you were swearing at me.
In New Orleans, and that's where they got these bitters. And
okay.
So they added those a little bit later into the drink. So originally just sugar, cognac. They added the bitters in there. But what makes this one unique is they would line the glass with absinthe.
The little green fairy.
Yes. So absinthe. Is lined. They lined this with absinthe. They would have that sugar cube. So the way it's made is they put sugar cube, bitters. They mash all that stuff up, add the whiskey, stir it up, make it cold. They line this glass, the glass you're going to drink out of it, you're going to line that with absinthe.
I'm going to line it with absinthe?
To make it.
Okay.
Not now.
Oh.
And because we didn't have absinthe.
We just did straight cocaine.
So so absinthe is, the main ingredient is wormwood. Yeah. It doesn't have a great taste to it. Because we didn't have it, we used Malort.
Oh!
So we just lined this thing with Malort. So all you Malort fans, that's what we had to use.
You did this to me tonight?
We had to. We didn't have, did you have absinthe? No.
No.
So cool story. Cool story.
Okay.
They actually banned absinthe in the U.S.
Really?
Yep, 1912.
Why?
They took it out. They thought it was a hallucinogenic. And so they said, we got to get rid of this.
But isn't it a hallucinogenic?
No, they determined it's not. It was just thought
freaking to be. Moulin Rouge lied to me.
So let's go back. So
my gift is my song.
So the one piece that I want to hit on this before we drink this. Okay, mm-hmm. We got the Pachaud's bitters. That's Pachaud's, excuse me, bitters. Okay, apothecary in New Orleans.
I just sang my heart out and you just breezed right past it like you weren't even impressed.
It's what I'm good at.
Okay, go ahead.
We've got the absinthe, or herb saint is the other stuff that they can use. That's what they used after absinthe was banned in the U.S.
Okay.
They never went back to it. They just kept it with the herb saint. It got changed to rye whiskey in the 1870s when cognac became difficult to import from France.
Cognac.
Cognac.
Kanye Westiak.
And so rye was used because it was way more available. Okay.
Yes.
Way more available.
A lot of bread.
The name Sazerac comes from the original owner of that coffee house named it the Sazerac Coffee House.
Because his Mr. Sazerac.
I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's just why.
He called the coffee house Sazerac.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the rye that came from that coffee house.
So the rye came in later with a guy by the name of Thomas Handy. Now, Thomas Handy, for those Buffalo Trace fans out there who've seen the Buffalo Trace antique collection, will know that Thomas Handy rye is the Buffalo Trace antique collection version of the rye.
Oh.
It's the Thomas Handy Sazerac rye.
Okay.
He owned this coffee shop after it had passed through a couple of different people.
Okay.
The original Sazerac, remember, comes from the cognac.
Tomato.
Brand that was imported from France originally.
Okay.
So,
of history in a glass.
Yep.
It's cool, though.
It's a lot of history. That's really cool, though. How that came about.
Right? It's amazing how things evolve like that. Yeah.
So, this has become the official drink, and I want to say it's in 2008. This became the official drink of New Orleans.
Really?
Is the Sazerac. So,
place I've never been, but I have friends that live there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice little city.
I hope we are.
If you have to ask, maybe not. Mm. So cheers.
Cheers.
How about to New Orleans?
Yeah, because not to the French.
No.
Freaking French.
Ooh, no.
Okay, sorry. I don't know what that was.
We gonna do this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really like that.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
I like it too.
Now, did we really put Malort in this?
Mm-mm.
No. What did we put in it?
No. We cheated a little bit. So one of my favorite cocktail mixers out there is a brand called Proof Syrup. And they make a number of traditional old fashioned orange, really maple bacon, all sorts of different flavors that they make old-fashioned syrup and other cocktail syrups. And so they make a Sazerac syrup as well that has the absinthe, the cane sugar, the bitters already built into it. It's 1 ounce of that, 2 ounces of rye whiskey, garnish it with the lemon, stir it up in a glass of ice, strain it into either another glass with an ice cube in it or you can serve it up. Either way, I think it's pretty tasty.
Fantastic.
I think it's really good.
Doesn't taste like it comes from a coffee house, though.
No, and it doesn't taste like it comes from a coffee house. I don't get much of the that anise flavor as
right. As well. Yeah, right? I was concerned about that. Yeah,
I was worried about it too. Having had enough Malort to kill a small child.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Any child.
Oh.
Any bit of Malort.
I think enough. If you pour it in your car's gas tank, it will actually run.
Mm. It will explode from the taste.
The car doesn't even want it. I could totally use this. I just don't want it. Yeah. It's disgusting.
Yeah. It makes gasoline taste good.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's really good.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't come from coffee.
No. Houses. Coffee, man.
Tell me,
there's a joke.
You love coffee.
I am a huge coffee fan.
Yeah.
This would have been a coffee podcast had I not liked whiskey probably more.
Yeah, or if you had a friend that liked coffee more than whiskey.
I do, he just told me no. Jared. Love Jared.
Uh-huh. I love Jared too.
So, coffee. Mm-hmm. Huge fan, and I've wanted to put it in my comedy routine. And so, I don't even remember where this joke came from, how I even developed it or got to it. But this idea of coffee versus tea. Now, I like tea. Tea doesn't bother me. Some people hate tea. I don't mind it. So I like the fruity teas, you know.
Like a blackberry hibiscus.
Hibiscus. blackberry hibiscus. There we go. Bring in the South. Are you from this? Blackberry hibiscus? Or did you hiccup while you were trying to say hibiscus?
I just don't know what a hibiscus is.
Hibiscus. It's a flower.
Is it like a... Okay, so that's how they make biscuits. It's hibiscus.
Gosh, son of a gun. No, Phil.
Sorry, you're the funny one. Let me...
No, you're good. Because is this because I said you were the straight guy? And now you're like trying to... Are you auditioning?
I don't know whether
this is good.
Take offense to being called the straight guy.
Not sexual preference.
Oh, of course not.
Just, I say stupid things and then you go, you're dumb.
No, you say dumb things. You say disruptive things. Yeah. And I just try to keep going.
You're just like telling a story and I'm like... Burp, 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 burp.
The fact that we got through the Sazerac cocktail...
I'm sorry, I'm in a mood.
In record time.
I'm in a mood. It's a mood. This is good. It's been a good... good day. I feel revigorated. Okay.
Coffee versus tea.
Tea.
I loved like how we got to...
I don't even know how we got there.
Some of the coffee versus tea stuff.
So the whole idea was trying to compare coffee versus tea. And mm-hmm. like you have coffee people who are crazy about coffee and you have tea people who really like tea.
Mm-hmm.
To me, so the joke right now... And the thing about it is this. It hasn't really worked. Like I haven't been able to figure it out. And I've had so many other comics look at it and like give me their thoughts on it. I performed it a couple times and just... I had one way I used to do it just... It was more like the attitude I was bringing to it. So I'll lay it out for those obviously who haven't heard it. So coffee versus tea. I'm a big fan of coffee. I love coffee because I know what it's been through. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of like when you make coffee, the poor trying to personify the coffee bean, and just you feel so bad for this coffee bean because it just goes through hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
To make you your luxurious drink. Mm-hmm. And this poor coffee bean, if a coffee bean was alive, like, oh my gosh, we've completely mutilated this thing. Meanwhile, tea, I say, you know, I don't like tea. Because I know what coffee's been through. Tea, mm-hmm. Tea's, it's British. It's like sending your house plant to a spa.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was playing off of like, so you have tea, you know, usually it comes in a tea bag and then you steep it in water and it's, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm.
And it's just dry leaves that have been in the sun too long.
Exactly, exactly.
And now I've got to go to the spa.
Yeah, so in my head, it's like I was trying to personify the tea and I was treating it more like a rich old woman going in a jacuzzi. Like that was tea to me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas coffee is like some poor guy that you dragged off the street
mm-hmm.
that like you just like... destroy, like you know, I talk about I did this whole thing about the monkey poo, because there's a certain coffee that, like, a monkey eats the coffee cherry, and then apparently its intestinal tract, the acid, like, does something to it.
Yeah.
And then it poops it out, and somebody goes and just somewhere, somehow, somebody
has to harvest that.
But why? Like, that's a whole separate joke. Like, who thought of that? Yeah. Like, but you take the coffee, you know, and it's like, you roast it. Mm-hmm. And when you roast coffee, like, it has like an outer shell, like a husk. So I was like, it's like its skin pops off because the husk pops off.
Right.
Oh, okay. At least that's over. Are we done? All right. You've roasted me and I'm still alive. Okay. And then you take it. What do? You freaking grind it up. And like, you know. And so, but
when you can't do any more to it, you pour steaming hot water over it. Pour
steaming hot boiling water over it, and its lifeblood drips into your ceramic mug that you bought at Disney World for your 10th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And you inhale its deathly aroma into your nostrils.
I think that's funny, but like,
it just hasn't worked.
It didn't land.
I don't know why. And so, and maybe it's just not funny. I don't know. You tell me. But the tea, I think there's something to that. Mm-hmm. The comparison of coffee and tea, because people are so obsessed with coffee and people are so obsessed with tea. And like, I don't know. So I think it's just, it's somehow, there's other things about coffee that's funny. I mean, but I feel like I've heard it before, like ordering coffee. We've gotten crazy about how we order coffee. Can we just, whatever just happened to like order a black coffee? Like,
right.
That's coffee.
Yeah.
Go order a black coffee.
Yeah.
Or, okay.
And it's like a dollar or whatever.
Yeah, you get it for refill.
Instead of like $3.50.
No, instead of like $7 or $8.
Yeah.
Like, I go to Starbucks. My drink is caramel iced latte. Sorry, I had to burp. Caramel iced latte.
Yeah.
And I get it everywhere. But it's like, if I get whatever, depending on the size, it's like $7.50.
Right.
So, but yeah, I don't know. I just think, oh, there's such a, and I, what I like about it is it's mine. I've never heard of a coffee versus tea joke. In that way, where really I haven't heard of a coffee versus tea joke, but like personifying the two. And I think what's funny to me is the two characters.
Mm.
The poor coffee bean, because in my head I'm picturing this tiny little like caricature guy. Like, you know, in the old movie theater, you go to outdoor theater, you know, those old cartoons where it's like the hot dog dancing.
Yeah, the popcorn.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I picture. That
California raisin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
California raisin, but a coffee bean.
But a coffee
bean. That poor guy, and he's just being beaten and destroyed.
Yes. Oh, no.
So maybe it's like Mr. Bill, you know, like, oh no, what are you gonna do to me now? But then the tea is just all like bougie and like, oh, what, you have this knapsack for me to get in? You know, that's the tea bag, but I try to say it's like a knapsack or like a robe.
Yeah.
Just gonna dip my toe in the jacuzzi and steep for a little while, you know, not too long though. Oh, and the water's just right because I don't want to burn. And I don't know, maybe, you know, I'll go sit in my little hammock here for a little while. And I don't know, I might take a dip later for another round.
I like
reuse it.
I don't know. I think where we really got off track with this joke, because I think we were working on this one a lot together, and it was a lot of fun as we were talking through just the lifeblood pouring out as you.
I thought that was so funny.
Really, it's really good. And I think where it got too long and too intense for the coffee bean, and I think relating the personification of the coffee bean and the personification of the tea and tying those somehow to the tea drinkers and the coffee drinkers as like, you know, as just being being different,
right?
You know, there's like, if you're gonna drink coffee, you got to know what this coffee bean's been through. You know what it's been through. You've probably been through the same thing.
Yeah.
And if you're drinking hot black coffee.
I mean, you're right, because I feel like the type of coffee, and maybe this is, maybe it's just like abandoning a little bit of that story of all that, because maybe that's not where the funny is. But what's funny to me also is I used to do some work for a shooting range in town, and they would brew at the shooting range because it's a bunch of ex like Vietnam guys that work there and ex military guys. They would brew what's called cowboy coffee, which is like double filtered, but like thick, syrupy, old, like brewed maybe three or four times for the same grounds, coffee, yeah. But I loved it. Mm-hmm. But there's a certain dark kind of soul that can drink that coffee,
That's it.
And so that's it. Maybe it's like the different types of people and how they take their coffee.
Yeah.
And just the funniness behind it. Like, if what if it's like, you know, if you order a plain black coffee, you've had a bad week. You just need something dark and depressing, you know?
Yeah.
But also fulfilling.
Or just like, I can't put up with any more BS.
Yeah, I just...
Just give me the coffee.
Give me the hard
straight
stuff. Yeah, just give it to me.
Just mainline the coffee.
If you're getting an espresso... But see, espresso moves into, hey, I'm from Italy. I want to have a little bit of espresso. I mean,
those folks drink shots of espresso all day. They're like, all
okay,
night.
Let's go do business,
right? And so it's not this espresso as much as, and I really avoided saying espresso just to make people angry. But it's not about the espresso or the way that the coffee is brewed or prepared. It's how you take it once it's in the cup. And I think that's the piece. Like, tea drinkers have a lot of time.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They've got a lot of time to wait for this thing to...
And then when they get it, they take their time. They're like, oh, yeah. I need to take my little sugar stick. Yeah. What, this one place, coffee shop I love, they give you a rock candy sugar stick.
Yep.
And you stir that. And it takes 5 years for the sugar to melt. Mm-hmm. And then you can drink your cold, lukewarm, whatever tea.
The patience that it takes for that... It's not the same as somebody who's like, I've got to have the caffeine.
I need coffee now.
I got to have it now.
I will burn the inside of my mouth.
Yes.
And I will like it.
And then relate how that person gets back to, how that relates back to the suffering and stress that the coffee bean went through.
It's like you're
kind of personifying that as the story.
It's like you're... The coffee is like your spirit animal.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, and you can start with that idea.
I can't talk to my mother. I can't talk to my father or my best friend or even my spouse. But coffee gets me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to drink it because I'm having a bad day. And this coffee, it has had a bad life too.
I think the idea of the spirit.
We are one.
The spirit animal. No, the spirit animal. Exactly. Like, we are one. It's like, I've been through this. I have been eaten by a monkey and pooed out. I've had someone rip me from that poop and roast me until my skin popped
and
off.
And grind me.
And then they grind me. No, that's not good. They grind. And then I feel like just when you think you can't be enough, then they pour this hot liquid and I just feel drained. And that's who drinks black coffee.
Yes. Done.
I like where we've gotten here. Holy crap. Oh,
that's what it is. It's the person that's drinking it and what their coffee order says about the life they've gone through.
I like that. What does a coffee order say about somebody?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now we got to flush that out. That's going to be a whole nother episode.
I mean, probably it is, but I really like where we
like
landed.
That, yeah.
Yeah, this was good.
This is good.
This is good.
I like it.
I like it, too. This might be a
the
fun
Saz.
One.
Can we call it the Saz?
You know, a lot of people do call it the Saz.
Really?
I just made that up. No,
Saz,
you absolutely
the Saz,
did.
TM.
I've never heard it before.
The Saz, TM. TM?
Trademarked.
No.
Rights reserved.
Tom Middleton.
No, Thomas Handy.
Ooh. To Thomas Handy.
To Thomas Handy. Cheers, Matt.
Cheers.
Good to see you.
You too.
Next time on Whiskey Bits.
So what we're going to do is we thought that it would be a good idea for us to... kind of give a little backstory into like why we're doing this, and also like some not buy-in, but like some street cred. Why we're doing what we're doing.
This is for me. This is really diving into my first experience with whiskey and with bourbon, and what it means to share bourbon with friends.
Yeah. And for me,
wish I had a more solid way to
end
that.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. And for me, this the second episode is a little background, an extensive background a little bit into like how I got started in comedy, why I decided to do stand-up comedy and all that. So we thought it would be good to share that with you guys. Yeah.
In two separate sections.
Right.
Hey, thanks for sticking around. That's it for this episode of Whiskey Bits. But if you enjoyed yourself, please like, share, and subscribe on your favorite platform.